Welcome to Straight to the Point. I'm your host, Representative Joe DiOrsi. In a world of long-windedness, I'm here to deliver you the Capitol news in 10 minutes or less. So let's get straight to the point.
So after a very long, it seems, hiatus, Straight to the Point is back. I'm Representative Joe DiOrsi, and I have a Philadelphia Republican. You heard that right. She represents the 170th Legislative District in Philadelphia County. It's Republican Caucus Chairwoman Martina White. Martina, thanks for joining.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on, Joe. This is going to be a fun time.
So we're going to talk girls' sports. You were an athlete yourself, and this topic has reemerged this session. What's been going on? What have House Democrats done to stifle this?
Yes, you know, the House Democrats have been maneuvering, shall I say. They continue to play games with our women in sports legislation. All we want to do is protect young females so that they can compete fairly out on the field or in any athletic arena. But unfortunately, they keep moving our policies from committee to committee to committee in order to avoid a House floor vote. And that's really a shame because our young females, they don't deserve to be treated like that, just being shifted around the Capitol building as if their points of view and voice don't matter. And that's what Democrats are doing these days, unfortunately.
So let's touch on the semantics of this because it really is in the weeds, but I want my listeners to understand this. So in our House rules, there's this thing called a discharge resolution. So it's not a new thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, for a bill to be introduced to never see the light of day, especially from an author of the minority party. But built into the rules this session, if a bill that hasn't been called up in committee has gone through, is it 15 session days, mm-hmm. non-voting or voting, you have this option of filing a discharge resolution. You collect 20 to 25 signatures. Once that happens, it's eligible for floor vote. So what happened, I know we did this with Senate Bill 9. We had an issue there in the Education Committee, of which I'm a member. And then that one was actually just re-referred to the Judiciary Committee. So go into a little bit of the details. You saw it unfold before your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, so we literally watched the chairman of the Education Committee, as you just described. He basically just put a kibosh on us being able to make this bill come to the House floor by shifting it to another committee and not allowing young women to have a voice in this Capitol. Our members, Barb Gleim and several other female legislators, have taken up the mantle and have been very vocal about the way that the policies are being treated, but also how the chairman in particular has been treating actual young women when they are trying to advocate for this initiative. I will say that we just had the Dads Defending Daughters come up here to help advocate, and they did an amazing job. We need more people out here advocating to help our young athletes, our young female athletes, being able to get this initiative across the finish line and get the House Democrats to allow a floor vote. But they just keep making maneuvers, if you will, to not allow that to happen.
So I've heard, Martina, that this is an 80-20 issue. I theorize that it's actually more of like an 85-15 or 90-10. Why is it? We're talking about something as simple as voting on it. Representative Anderson made this point in committee. Just have the courage to vote on it. If you disagree ideologically, and you're allowed to do that, you're in the extreme minority of people that live in this Commonwealth, by the way, because it is at least an 80-20 issue. What's behind this injustice? Why is it being blocked?
So I think it's because Democrat leadership does not want their most radical members to have to vote on this policy, therefore protecting them, mm-hmm. and therefore protecting their majority. I think that, unfortunately, that's what's become of the House Democrat caucus, is they continue to pander to the far left. They will not obviously run this very simple, well-supported initiative here in Harrisburg. You just said it multiple times, but like it bears repeating, the public supports this policy. They want to make sure that our young female athletes are protected and that they don't have to compete against their biological male counterparts and lose scholarship opportunities or lose all of the hard work that they put in to getting to the championship level or winning an award. That's important to these young women, and for them to not have those opportunities is really a shame. So we really have to, continue to pursue it. We're going to continue to advocate. But I think, to your point, the Democrats are just catering to their radical left.
Yeah, so there was an important development, actually, on this topic. We've discussed that it's an 80-20 issue. It's certainly personal for me. I was a Division I athlete, but more importantly, I have a 7-year-old girl who I will protect with my life. The IOC, which governs policies and procedures with the Olympics, they announced just the other week that it will not be tolerable for biological males to compete with women. I know this was a bit of a controversy last time. They maybe had some type of similar policy, and then we had in the boxing category that situation where girls were getting pounded by this man. Does this kind of add, not that we needed more viability with this initiative, since it's an 80-20 thing, does this IOC announcement kind of give our argument a little bit more teeth?
Oh, absolutely. I think, when an Olympic level committee or leadership group comes out publicly and states what is so obvious to so many of us, and works to address the concerns that their athletes have in competition, I think that's a very positive thing for our movement and for us being able to further our cause when it comes to policy.
Yeah. So Dads Defending Daughters Act, you mentioned that, House Bill 1849. I'm a co-author of that, very proud of that. We had our press conference the other week, and in preparing that and just trying to study some of the counter arguments, as confusing as they are to try to understand, a common thread that I've heard, which is a myth, but it's worth noting, is that it doesn't happen that much. Okay, it's sliver of times that it actually occurs. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Meanwhile, in our press conference, Martina, we had Paula Scanlon, University of Pennsylvania, that's right here in Philadelphia, in our Commonwealth, who dealt with it. We had a track athlete from over in Lancaster County, just across the river, and she shared her experiences, not just competing with a man, but having to uncomfortably change in the same locker room. I brought up the point that at least 66 women in the last couple of years have lost placement or medals. Tell me about why you think this argument about it not being that big of a deal has any credence, but also dispel that myth for me.
Sure. Look, when we allow it in one place, it spreads, right? And I think by not helping to defend what we all know to be true is that biological men are completely different than biological females. They have stronger bones, denser bones, stronger muscles. They have all of these biological features that allow them to have advantages over their female athletic counterparts. And so the myth that, women who are impacted or young females that are impacted, oh, there's just a few of them and, that's okay. That it's not okay, because what happens is it becomes more and more prevalent. And that's where we as women have to continue to stand together. We need to continue to fight for this cause and uphold what we and so many other women from the past have fought for, which is Title IX. The law is already there. It needs to be upheld. And we need to make sure that these various groups, like you talked about, from the Olympics level all the way down to the NCAA, we need to make sure that they are implementing what is fair on the playing field. So that's really what I'm here to talk about and what I stand for. And I know you do too. I know everyone who was at that Dads Defending Daughters did an amazing job. I mean, Frank Murphy did an awesome job talking about you know, the issues and his own family and how he's fighting for his young girls. So
yeah, it's an injustice. So I've only been here 3 years. You and Representative Gleim, Senator Ward, have been fighting this battle before it, but it's an injustice. So aside from the politics, the details about re-referrals and discharge resolutions, I have a daughter. I was an athlete. The differences in physiology are clear. I don't need to be a physician to tell you that. I mean, we're talking about common sense here. So we're just advocating that it comes up for a vote, and let's see where the chips fall, and let's try to protect Pennsylvania girls, right?
Absolutely, and I'll guarantee you that when it comes up for a vote, it's going to pass with flying colors. You know, it passed over in the Senate. There's no reason why it wouldn't pass in the House. I think that, you know, the governor is probably avoiding having to deal with this issue. You know, his radical comments about the people who support the—
We're extreme.
Apparently. The positions that we're taking are not extreme. They are common sense, and I'm so glad to have been able to come onto your program to talk about it.
She's Martina White. She represents the 170th in Philadelphia County, and she's the Republican caucus chairwoman. Martina, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.